For our scripture reading this morning, we're reading from Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 24. We'll read through to the end of chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. Hear the word of God. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So I've read Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. A lot of ground has been covered concerning the topic of prayer that we started at the beginning of the year. And we are now on the final leg of it, considering the subject of the components of prayer. This subject of the topic of prayer consists of, if you'll recall, the study of the Lord's Prayer, as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. The Lord's Prayer gives us the practical application of the teachings we learned concerning prayer's necessity, essence, and its acceptability. Component parts of the Lord's Prayer, as we've already learned, are basically made up of the preface, six petitions, and the conclusion. The preface of the Lord's Prayer is contained in the phrase, Our Father in Heaven, which tells us to whom we are to address our prayers. The six petitions are broken down into two sections of three petitions each. The first three petitions, Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, are related to the glory of God. The second three petitions, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, relate to those things concerning our interests and welfare. That is, those things that are necessary to our temporal blessings and salvation. The third part is the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, consisting of the closing and the Amen. In working through the component parts of the Lord's Prayer, let us keep in mind that though the Lord's Prayer may be used in its form, and we do so from time to time here in church, the Lord did not, however, give this prayer to be used only as the only form of prayer. Jesus did not intend to give this prayer to prescribe certain words to pray so that we are not at liberty to use other words or forms of prayer. Rather, Jesus gave us this prayer to guide us in our prayers, to restrain our desires, which are inclined to extend beyond those limits that correspond to the things related to what makes up a prayer that is acceptable to God and heard by Him. We have already covered the preface of the Lord's Prayer and the first three petitions that relate to the glory of God. This morning we will begin looking at the second set of three petitions, which relate to those things that concern our own interests and welfare. That is, those things that relate to our temporal blessings and salvation. This leads us to the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. This petition is the only petition that relates to our temporal needs. It is, however, that part of our prayer that ought to remind us that because God condescends to nourish our bodies with physical food, how much more our temporal blessings also, that's more than just food, but temporal blessings, how much more will He care for our spiritual needs? God nourishes our bodies so that we might seek spiritual strength as we seek to glorify God in the first three petitions. Thus, when we pray, we must never turn our eyes to look away from that purpose. However, for many people, this petition is merely a prayer of survival as a means to hang on to the things of this world to extend life as long as possible out of fear of dying. While it is true that if we do not eat, we will die. Staying alive ought to be primarily, however, for the purpose of glorifying God. We learn from 1 Corinthians 10:31 that in whatever we do, we are to do it to the glory of God, which is, for the true believer, doesn't really change when he does die. But glory is given to God in heaven, and it will be done in perfection and will not serve the purpose of proclaiming the goodness of God in the gospel message of Jesus Christ to unbelievers. That is, in heaven, it will not serve that purpose any longer, but just merely to give glory to God and to uphold Him and lift Him up before us. For the unbeliever, that's not the case. In Psalm 115:17, we read, "The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence." The person who is not a believer in Jesus Christ, that is the person not made alive by the Holy Spirit, but remains dead in the sins, his or her sins and trespasses, do not praise God. Neither when he or she is alive, that is, living in this world, nor when that person dies physically. Thus, only the true believer in Christ can pray by faith. That is, prayed by faith, is able to petition the Lord and pray by faith, asking Him to give us this day our daily prayer. It's with this in mind that we begin to look at the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. As we seek to properly understand this petition, we will consider briefly the following four aspects of it. First, what is understood when we pray using the word bread in this petition? Second, the significance of the bread being our bread. And third, the limitations that restrict our desires in our request in the phrase, "This day our daily bread." And then finally, we are to ask God, why are we asking God for temporal blessings? That's the final aspect to this petition. But first of all, while we might reasonably ascribe a spiritual meaning to the word bread in this petition, thinking of our spiritual life coming from God as it might be understood in John chapter 6, verses 33 and following, which we read this morning, where bread is used. We didn't read it this morning. Sorry about that. In John chapter 6, verses 33 and following, the bread is used metaphorically in that passage of Scripture. Jesus is describing Himself as being the bread of life, who gives life to all who believe in Him, or the spiritual nourishment. Bread is also used as a spiritual nourishment to symbolize or represent spiritual nourishment received from God's Word. Spiritual bread that is required in addition to the physical bread needed for sustaining of our physical bodies. That is understood in in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, where Jesus said, "You shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And so we see that there's an aspect there that is bread is considered, spiritually speaking, that which nourishes us in our souls. Even though there's that aspect of it in this passage here, what's before us in this prayer, in this petition, it is the physical bread that's being petitioned, since our spiritual interests and welfare are addressed in the fifth and sixth petitions. Our Lord is not referring to our spiritual nourishment, but rather our physical nourishment or our bodily needs in this petition of the Lord's Prayer. Though the word bread is understood to be physical in nature, it is, however, used in a different way in this case. It is physical, but yet it's in a figurative sense. It's not literal as in just a loaf of bread, okay? The bread itself. Jesus is using the word bread in a synodoctical sense, which means that it is a figure of speech in which a part is represented or is used as the whole. Thus, bread is being used to represent all temporal blessings in general. That is, food, clothing, health, civil peace, etc., and so on. That is, those things that are necessary for the sustenance of life. This is a common figure of speech in Hebrews, or in the Hebrew, used often in Scripture, such as what we see in Genesis 3:19, where the Lord is meting out the curse upon mankind because of the sin of Adam and Eve, telling them, "In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread." Jesus also used it in this sense when he said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone." You see that this is a broader, has a broader sense to it as it's being used elsewhere in Scripture. So further, we pray for bread, for temporal blessings, from our necessity for them. We need them. Our body requires it. We need that sustenance. However, we pray for spiritual blessings, not merely for the things necessary for sustaining our life. We pray for temporal blessings with the understanding that we use them profitably. We pray for such things as are necessary for the support of life and for the service of God and our neighbor, both in common and proper. In our common and proper calling. So it has a twofold profitability to it, not only for keeping us alive, but also for the service of God and our neighbor. We pray for those things necessary for life so that in the use of them, they may be made profitable to us and tend toward our salvation. Otherwise, possessing these things would be like possessing a stone or become like a poison to us. There are two ways in which the temporal blessings are made profitable. First, that we pray for them in faith with the intent of using them as God and His Word has directed us. That is, in a manner and with a purpose that glorifies Him. And second, that in praying for temporal blessings, we do so with the desire not merely that God gives them to us, giving us the strength strength and virtue of nurturing and blessing in our bodies, but that we pray for God's blessing. What use is it to receive something, such things, and not also be blessed of God and not receive the blessing of God? We may plant the seed, we might water the ground, but it is God who gives the increase. He's the one that blesses with the fruit. Without the blessing of God, all the cares and efforts of our hands are worthless, and the gifts of God themselves are useless, according to Psalm 127, verse 1, and even hurtful, according to Leviticus 26, 26. Without the blessing of God and the receiving of those things necessary for the sustenance of our physical life, they will become not only a useless stone, but also a poisonous drink, which is what God gives to the wicked, to the ungodly. So it is that when we pray for bread, we are praying in faith for temporal blessings, for God to give us those things that are necessary to strengthen our bodies, and for God to bless those things so that they are profitable in their use and He is glorified. Lest our prayers become a worthless desire, and what we receive from God is unprofitable to us, that is, useless and hurtful. Second aspect to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is the consideration of the significance of the bread being our bread. Our Lord tells us not just to pray for temporal blessings, but He tells us to pray for our temporal blessings. But what is the significance of Christ adding this to the petition requesting bread or temporal blessings? When the Lord tells us to pray for our bread, we are to understand that it is called such because it comes to us not by right, but because it has been set aside or set apart for our use by the Heavenly Father out of His kindness, by His grace. God freely, without obligation, graciously bestows temporal blessings to us as being necessary for the support of our lives and are made ours when He has thus given it to us. In other words, we are praying as though saying, quote, "Give us, our Heavenly Father, the bread allotted to us and which You have purposed to be ours according to Your will and good purposes toward us," end quote. There is no doubt, though, that the fields must be cultivated, the seed sown, and the sweat of our brow exerted to harvest the fruit of the land. And everyone must submit to the labors of his calling and vocation in order to earn a wage to purchase food. No matter what we're doing, we're going to earn a wage. We're going to earn that exert energy, and we need to use some of us labor using our hands, some of us labor using our other abilities that don't require the use of our hands, the strength of our bodies in that sense, but maybe our ability to think through abstractly, to think through other things. And some people do a combination of things. But nonetheless, we all work and earn a wage in our various vocations and callings to earn a wage to purchase food. But this does not mean that God does not feed us by His undeserved kindness, without which we would waste our strength to no purpose. In other words, what is required by our own effort and industry is ultimately a gift from God. Let's always keep that in mind. Our strength comes from the Lord so that we might earn a wage. The temporal blessings of this life are ours because God has given them to us through means He has prescribed and required. And as such, those things we have acquired by lawful and honest means belong to us because they were given to us by God. This is the principle and command found in Scripture, where we are told in verses such as Ephesians 2:28, where it says, "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he might have something to give him who has need." And in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." Thus, we might infer from this petition that when we pray for our bread, we are desiring that God feed us and give us our temporal blessings that do not belong to others, and declare that our desire is for nothing but what is our own, having received it from the hand of God, as it were, giving it to us from heaven through the ordinary and lawful means and ways, through our labors. But our Lord requires even further restraint in praying for temporal blessings as we pray for our bread. We are also restrained from desiring more than what is needed this day, which is what we understand from the third aspect of the fourth petition. We find this third aspect in the words "daily" and "this day." We pray that God give us this day our daily bread. In the Word daily, we are taught to control and restrain our inclination to desire to seek more than what is necessary for the day. We are also taught this principle in Matthew 6:34, which is what we read. That was part of the passage that we read this morning in our scripture reading, where Jesus tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We are to desire to be content in receiving those things which will be sufficient for each day. Does this mean we're not to save up what is given to us that is more than enough for our daily temporal needs? Certainly not. That's not the meaning of asking God for our daily bread. But rather it means that when we pray this petition, we are asking God that He, quote, give us enough of what is necessary for the support of life as every one of us needs to serve Him and our neighbor in our several callings in this life each day. End quote. That's a quote from your Zionist. Indeed, we are to be content with those things that are given to us to supply us this day. In other words, we are to be content with this day's needs met and not desire a covenant or covet the things for the future. It is so easy to worry about the needs of tomorrow and fall into the sins of distrust and covetousness. Thus, we are to guard against these sins as we pray this day, leaning on God in childlike dependence upon Him for the temporal blessings of this day, just as He supplied all our needs yesterday, and trusting Him to also do so tomorrow and always, expecting from His fatherly hand all things necessary for this day, knowing that though we labor and work with our hands, it is God that confers these things upon us, knowing that these things will not profit our bodies if God does not bless them. Let it be our prayer, what is prayed in Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9, where the prayer that was prayed included this request. It says, "Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." It is in praying in this manner that we will guard against distrust in God and the inclination toward the sin of covetousness. This leads us to the last aspect of praying for our daily bread. If we read in our scripture reading this morning, in Matthew 6:25, we are not to worry about what we eat or what we will drink, nor about the clothing we put on, because life is more than food and the body more than clothing, and because, according to verse 31 and 32, later in that chapter, as we read, our Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Why are we then to pray for temporal blessings for our daily bread? There are three reasons, which we'll consider briefly. First, when we pray for temporal blessings, we are submitting to the commandment of God, which our Lord Himself has not only instructed us in this prayer, but also as we are commanded by our Lord later in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 12, where we are told to ask from God what we need, because our Heavenly Father knows much more than you and I how to give good gifts to His children who ask Him. Thus, in praying for our temporal blessings, we're not only submitting to God's commandment to do so, but we are also putting our trust in Him and His promise to us, which is the second reason for asking God to give us temporal blessings, which is inferred from the verb tense in the Greek of the word give in our fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. We see that in that word give, it's in the Greek, it's the aorist tense. It's used here, as it's used here, it gives this verb the sense of taking the action as a whole with no reference to time. Just as God works out His will in heaven and on earth continuously and constantly without interruption, so also He gives us our daily bread. From this, we come to understand that when we pray this petition, we are not so much asking for Him to do something that He hasn't done in the past, but rather the petition assumes an ongoing action, such as what is inferred in verse 32 of our scripture reading this morning. It is in this sense that we are praying, O Lord, since our life needs new supply each day, may it please you to grant them to us continually without interruption as you have always done. End quote. Let's get that sense of that, of how that word give is used here in the Lord's prayer. And it is in with this understanding that we are able to pray with confidence that we will obtain those things that are necessary for us, which confidence is spiritual and not carnal. That is, our confidence is in God's faithfulness, not in our own abilities and the skill of our own hands and the strength of our hands. This leads us to the third reason why we are to ask God for temporal blessings, which is on account of God's glory. We pray asking God for our daily bread. We are, in essence, acknowledging the providence of God. Since according to James 1:17, He is the source of all good things. And that our temporal blessings come not by mere chance, but by God's fatherly hand. And in doing so, we are declaring that we are withdrawing all our trust from ourselves or any other person, our government, our creature, to provide for our daily needs, so that in all that we receive, we give glory to God alone and rest in His undeserved kindness toward us for the sake of Christ's merit earned for us on the cross, whereupon He obtained for His elect the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, salvation, and everlasting life. In conclusion, when we pray this fourth petition by true faith, let us understand that we are praying, understand what we are praying for in light of what we have learned today, which is also summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism 125, telling us that when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we mean, quote, be pleased to provide for all our bodily needs, so that we may thereby acknowledge that Thou art the only foundation of all good, and that without Thy blessing neither our care and labor nor Thy gifts can profit us, that we may therefore withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in Thee. End quote. However, the unregenerate person, the unbeliever, cannot pray this petition by true faith, as we've noted, nor will he, being dead in sins or her sins and trespasses. Only the person who has been born again by the washing and renewing the Holy Spirit and given the gift of true faith can and will pray this prayer. Therefore, the question is before us, those of you who are unable to pray this, won't you this day come to Christ in true repentance of sin and by faith alone in His one atoning sacrifice on the cross for you, resting in all the blessings obtained on your behalf by Christ, the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, salvation, and everlasting life? If you'll come to Christ in this way, then you'll be able to pray the Lord's Prayer by faith with the assurance of knowing that God will hear your prayer and answer you according to His good pleasure as Almighty God and His faithfulness, according to His faithfulness as our Heavenly Father. With that in mind, this week, let it be that each of us who are in Christ, beloved, be reminded in praying this prayer, or this petition, praying this petition, that as we labor for an income in our calling in this life, or sit down to eat, or put clothes on our backs, or lay down at night in the comfort of a roof over our heads, we are not only asking for our Heavenly Father's continual provision of our bodily needs, but also to thank Him for what He has provided to each of us each and every day, and to glorify God for what He has given us and blessed us in those things. Not just when we pray to Him, but also to glorify Him in our conversations with others and in our conduct toward others. It is in this way that having our bodily needs met each day, these gifts will be profitable to us as we serve God and others, just as we are admonished to do in Ephesians 4:28. Beloved in the Lord, Let us testify to others God's goodness to us and all His provisions, remembering that though we may labor and sweat in our calling, the temporal blessings of this life that belong to us are a gift from God. And just as God has helped us in our bodily needs, let us also be mindful of the needs of others who in God's providence are suffering in their needs, so that in helping them you may demonstrate the grace of God and thereby witness the salvation of God from our sins through faith in Jesus Christ and repentance from our sins and glorify God in Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom belong all glory, honor, and power forever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, indeed, we do give thanks to You for all that You have given to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. You have given all that is necessary for our salvation. The requirements of the law being met, the penalty for our sins being satisfied on the cross, and the righteousness of Christ been fulfilled and imputed to us by faith. So, Lord, pray that You would be with us now as we contemplate the things that we have learned this morning regarding this petition. And as we pray that You give us this day our daily bread, that we would continually remember the things that are taught as we pray these things. For in them You restrain us from asking those things that are not profitable to us. You constrain us in limiting us in the things in what to expect from You, to be content in the things that are given to us each and every day, not to seek those things which would lead us astray from You. Lord, indeed, feed us and give us what is allotted to us each and every day, so that we don't become proud and puffed up and say in our hearts, who is God? Feed us each day, giving us our daily needs, blessing us with these temporal blessings each and every day, just according to what is allotted to us, so that we are not in poverty, so that we would turn to stealing and Your name would be profaned. So, Lord, we rejoice in sustaining us and keeping us. You provide for our every need, each and every day. And Lord, we ask these things not because You haven't done it in the past, but because You have indeed given it in the past. And so we can come to You knowing with confidence and assurance of heart that You will continue to do so. So Lord, pray that You would give us a desire to seek You in all things. But Lord, You indeed will provide for our every need. We give You all praise and glory and honor in all that we say and do. Lord, that in doing so, we witness to others Your goodness. And perhaps You would be pleased to bring others to You through our witness and our testimony. To Your glory and honor, through Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.